So welcome everybody to the meditation class today. And our meditation class, I will finish precisely at 4 p.m. Precisely according to Buddhist time, which means maybe 5 or 10 minutes either side. But the reason is that afterwards we're going to have our annual general meeting at, it's supposed to start actually at 5 o'clock, but give time for people to get settled and registrations and stuff. The idea is always to make sure that the annual general meeting is as close as possible to the meditation. So it gives me a time to make sure everyone is nice and peaceful and calm and well hypnotized, so that when we actually do the voting and stuff, it all goes according to plan. That's only a joke, by the way. And I say these things, people say, oh, that's how Ajahn Bum does it. So anyway, the meditation, well, again, welcome here. Those people who come into the introduction to the meditation class, that is in the room to my right, this is the ongoing class. At this class, we teach meditation. We go a little bit longer in our meditation and also have the opportunity for people to ask questions afterwards. So I think most people, I'd imagine, may be coming later who are going to be attending our AGM. But anyway, those of you here, welcome to the ongoing class. And if you have come for the introduction to meditation class, again, that's the room to my right. And one of the things which, when I go off teaching meditation all over the world, the most difficult part for people is, again, to calm down, to make the mind peaceful. And there was a story I often repeat, and I'm sure those who come here regularly have heard this many times. Uh-oh, you are hearing in the other room. Yes, so all the people in the other room, welcome to the introduction class. You're with one of the great teachers of our Buddhist society, Mr. Dennis Shepherd. He's been so well brainwashed that the soap powder has gone into his hair and made his hair white as well. That's even washed. Oh, you've got the... Okay. You see, he's got great powers. He can actually see the line of the hearing loop in the carpet. See, that's only because of meditation, Dennis, that you can actually see deeply into things. Okay. So anyway, a few more people coming in. Good. They're coming into this class or the other class. Anyway. So, again, this is the ongoing class. Those who come to the introduction to meditation class, this is the room to my right. And one of those little events which meant a lot to me was when I went to see a very great meditation teacher with lots and lots of questions in my head, not wanting to waste the opportunity to ask this really special monk while he was still alive. And as soon as I went into his room, this big room where he was sitting in a small chair, when I went to see him, it was amazing just how my mind went very peaceful and calm. It was that all my questions, which were really important, sort of just evaporated. The mind went very, very peaceful. And I wondered why that was the case. It was very pleasant not to have any thoughts. It was as if all those questions were already answered on a deeper level than I could ever imagine. But the reason I'm repeating this now is that when one is in a space of peace, of acceptance, of safety, and great kindness, when one doesn't have to prove anything, answer any exams, or pass any tests, when you really are peaceful and at ease, you'll find that questions just do not come up. The mind is very clear and very alert, but it sees that there's another way of understanding truth, you know, way beyond questions and thoughts. And the thoughts are seen not as a way of finding solutions to problems, but actually what stops the problems being seen for what they truly are. And the simile is Again, another simile. I keep on thinking I shouldn't tell a simile again, but these are best similes. And that was a simile of the lake in the mountains with waves and ripples on the surface. And when you've got waves and ripples on the surface, then you can never see a true reflection of the moon and the stars in the heavens above. So when there are ripples on the surface of the lake, you can't see the truth. And those waves and ripples on the surface of the lake represents your mind, and the waves and ripples represent thoughts. And there are times when you've got so many thoughts going on in the mind, it's so restless. You know, it's not a personal failing, but it's just sometimes life is like that. You're very busy, you've got a lot of problems which you have to face, a lot of decisions which need to be made, you're tired, you've been working hard. Your lake, your mind, is like just as a storm on the surface, with lots of waves crashing against the surface of your consciousness. And that is like a lot of thoughts in the mind. And if you can, just let things be, not make things worse, not get interfere, but just allow things to settle down by themselves, then what happens is the waves get less and less and less. The ripples get more and more further in, further between them, until the lake becomes perfectly still. And that's like a mind which has no thoughts on it, but perfectly clear, reflecting like a mirror the wave, the moon and the stars in the heavens above. And that's like a mind which stops all much of this thinking. And where we can allow that mind to become still is learning just how to relax, to be kind, to not to give work to our brain, not to ask it to perform, not to criticize it as if you're like a boss at work, always looking over you, telling you what to do. You're not working hard enough, you're not progressing enough, you're not making enough sales, you're not doing this right. All of that critical part which you have to endure when you're maybe at work. Of course, I don't have to endure that when I go to monitor because I am the boss. But or what the others have to endure from me. But you can see what happens when we are that we do that to ourselves, and just how that causes the waves in our mind. And imagine that you don't have anything to attain, no goals to reach, that nothing no tests to pass, nothing to work towards, which means you can rest, relax. And so that idea of learning how to relax, not just the body, but relax the mind as well. And it's one of the reasons why that the phrase which I'm trying to impress upon people, just almost like a slogan. Last year it was make peace, be kind, be gentle. And this year it is relax to the max. It's a slogan, but it actually works. So to relax to the max is where we, not just our body, but our mind. We all know how to, well, actually amazing how many people don't know how to relax their body. But you can always relax your body a little bit more by learning how to relax the mind, so the mind can be at peace. Sometimes even in body sweeping, body awareness, which I've often done here, sometimes when I get to the final part of, you know, the way in which I do body sweeping, going to the face, then I sometimes say, well, now go 2 inches behind the eyes to where the brain is supposed to be. And imagine taking your brain out from your skull. I mean, don't do it properly, just do it imaginary. Just and taking out and put it down, you know, almost like in a bed or on a soft cushion, and tuck it in and stroke it and wish it good night. So in other words, you're kind to the brain, you can give it a rest Let the brain have a holiday. Let the brain relax. Let the brain get away from it all and just have some peace and quiet. And so that is almost like a visualization of learning how to relax your own brain. And it's not being dull, because when the brain gets relaxed, you actually get brighter, more aware, the less you do and struggle. So this is how to relax the brain, and you find you don't have many thoughts. You're peaceful, focused, bright and clear. So anyway, that is this little focus for today's meditation. So now, if you'd like to get in your meditation posture, position, and I will ring the gong this time at about 3:50 to give an opportunity for a few questions before we break to get ready for the AGM later on.
Oops.
So when you close your eyes, relaxing our body. To relax your body, you start with your feet, lowest part of your body. And to establish mindfulness, to connect your mind with your feet, you just ask the question, how are you, feet? Are you in a good position? If you find it difficult starting awareness of your feet, just, you know, wiggle the toes. And you feel that you can know how things are experienced down there. And if you find any compression, tightness, strain, that's going to cause a problem later on in the meditation. So do something about it now. Adjust. And then you go up your legs, your calves. And when you have your calves, if you can relax them, please do so. Mindfulness allows you to have this feedback. So sometimes just I feel my calves are quite happy, content. But then I just even just stay a bit longer. Can I make that feeling, that almost like a dull ache, hardly much at all, but focus on it and see if I can make it more comfortable. Just being aware of something and having an intention to relax it, I find that I get feedback that the feeling even my calves does change. And I become more comfortable. Whereas at the beginning I thought, no, it's good enough. But I can find even more comfort with a bit of observation and trial and error and kindness. And I go up to my knees, making sure they're comfortable. For those of people who've got injuries to their knees, And there's pain there. If you can move, that's wonderful. If you can't move to alleviate the pain, or the ache, or the throb, then stay there. And just see what happens when you change the way you look at that feeling of ache or pain. See if you can just allow it to be, opening the door of your heart to that feeling. Investigating means exploring different ways of looking at things. And as one explores the different ways, you can establish a relationship between your mind and that pain. Not one of fear and control, but learning how to be tolerant, living in harmony with you and that pain. Trial and error gives you a lot of wisdom. You find you can be at peace with it. It's not a problem anymore. You sweep up through your thighs, making sure they're comfortable. Any aches or itches, just be with it. Zoom in on it. Get to know that feeling. And discover what makes it more at ease, relaxed, less of a burden and a problem. You feel it. And you can know how to relax. And up to your buttocks. They are being pressed against a hard surface, like the chair, or the cushion, or even the floor, or a stool. Be aware and ask the question of your buttocks, can I make you more comfortable? By twisting or fidgeting or moving. Are you sure you're okay? It is real sincere care for the comfort of your body. And using mindfulness as a way where you can see, feel how the body relaxes and how tension in the body, inflammation, wounds can be healed. Then to your waist, feel it, get to know it, relax it. Even so, the lower intestines, the colon, all of that, you can feel it. And after a while, you know how to relax. The awareness, the kindness, and the whole thing just becomes so loose and open and peaceful and comfortable. And then going up to halfway up your back. There, just inside, is so many organs which cause people so much problems. You can feel those organs. Some of them, they're not a problem, so they're almost like dormant, they're not a problem. But other parts of your body, you may feel an ache here or a strain there. Be with it. Just fill the mind with that experience. That's what we mean by zooming in. It's like you focus on that to the exclusion of all other parts of your body. You get to know that part. Get to understand. And thereby you find how to relax. It's like in the old days, as kids, you maybe take a part of a motorbike, a simple thing, or an old car, put it back together again. Just fiddling around, getting to know how it works. as you explore, fiddle around as word is, just try this, try that. That's where you get skills from. You get to know how your body works. You go further up the body, to your chest area. Getting to know repeated mindfulness of one area. It just, you increase your data bank. So you get to know that area. You know how it works. You do know how to, you know how to tense up and how to relax. And you relax to the max. And up to your shoulders. You can learn how just to let go of both ends of those shoulder muscles. You can experience the shoulder muscles loosening, drooping, relaxing. Little by little you're reinforcing your understanding of relaxation, its health benefits, its comfort. You also understand how it's done. Awareness together with this beautiful letting go. Kindness. And your arms and hands. How are your hands right now? How do they feel? And go back up to your neck and throat. Known sensations. Just relaxing them, I'm just stretching my neck, moving my head from back left to right, just to make sure that the shoulder muscles and the neck muscles are nice and loose and at ease. My facial muscles. Just putting all my awareness just on how my eyes, the muscles around the eyes, the forehead, the mouth, just how tense they are or how loose they are. And lastly, my brain. To relax my brain. How do you do that when there's not supposed to be any possibility of knowing physical sensations inside the brain and no nerve endings? So what we do, we use our imagination, visualization. You imagine a brain, imagine your brain just coming home from work, just really exhausted and tired, but it doesn't know how to rest. So imagine making a nice little bed for your brain with a really soft mattress and sheets and a duvet if you like duvets, a nice soft pillow, and you put your brain to bed, tuck her in and wish your brain a nice rest. Just imagining it. You find that when you imagine things clearly in your own way, then actually the real thing happens, not to the quite the same extent, but to a lot it gets relaxed. Your mind is making your brain relax, that's what's happening with the imagination.
with the visualization, relaxing your brain, and relaxation is a very pleasant experience. So when I look at my body after this short exercise of relaxation, my body feels good. It feels pleasurable. The delight of a body at ease. It's not perfect. It's much better than when I started. And then once the body has been relaxed, now to relax our mind. Mind with all the emotions, with all the thoughts. So imagine your mind like a lake, a pond, a body of water, not too big. Imagine that lake, your mind, with so many waves on the surface. If you've had a very difficult few days with many problems in your life and having to face many difficulties in the future, sometimes your lake is like there's a storm at the sea, huge waves breaking and crashing into the ground. That's a disturbed mind. It's natural, you can't. Sometimes these things happen, just the pressure of your work. But imagine now, the wind drops, the cause of all those waves and all that foam starts to lessen. And the waves get less and less and less. You imagine your mind being like that still forest pool. No waves at all. Maybe a ripple every now and again, but that's going to be temporary. See if you can relate those waves or ripples to thoughts and commentary. It's how you visualize the thoughts. Waves on the surface of your otherwise still and peaceful mind. You don't force the mind to be still. You let it be still. You imagine stillness, calmness. You recognize the space between thoughts. And you respect the silence. It's like I remembered as a small going to ceremonies in churches and people saying, shh, be quiet. I could. Now you're asking your mind, shh, be quiet. And it can. And once your mind gets beyond thought, once you can taste silence, it's usually so delightful. You don't want to have any thoughts. Leave the thinking till later. Now be silent. Let the breath come whenever it wants to. Breathing in peace, breathing out, let go. As you practice many times. I'm now going to be quiet till the end of the meditation in 20 minutes' time. It's getting close to the end of the meditation. How relaxed is your mind? How at ease? Content and easily satisfied? And with it the body, which comes first, relaxation of body, relaxation of the mind, or mind-body. They do interact. The mind is more important. Relaxing the mind. And the body follows suit. And hearing the gong 3 times. That's excellent. Very good. Thank you. Good service. A couple of questions from overseas, which the first question from overseas: could you please explain the importance of sitting still during meditation? I can sit still for longer periods while meditating on a chair, but I have an attachment on sitting to the floor. It's sometimes then you can actually just change from sitting on the floor to sitting on a chair, sitting on a chair, sitting on a floor, to alternate, or maybe 2 sitting on the floors, 1 on a chair, until you can actually find that you can sit still for long periods of time. There are times when you're sitting on the floor, or if you're getting into a nice peaceful state of meditation, you find you can sit for hours without moving. But don't really worry about the periods, let it be natural. The importance of sitting still, it just happens by itself. I think the importance is that you have a calm, peaceful mind, and then the bodily stillness comes. If you're still really restless here and there, of course people have illnesses, aches and pains and stuff, but if it really is just in a usual body and you are reasonably peaceful, then you can sit for long. If you are restless, you notice it's not a physical problem, it's more mental restlessness. And that, of course, is a problem one can very simply change with some kindness. From Finland: is meditating, listening to teachings and living morally enough, or should we have some kind of map or plan and personal contact with the teacher to progress in our path? It's sometimes having maps and plans. Sometimes all my maps and plans never work out like I expect. They always make these interesting twists and turns and new opportunities and the avenues. So it's never like a plan. So sometimes if you have a plan, sometimes you stick to the plan even though there's many, many better things on offer. So find more life, especially meditation, is much more important, you know, to have loose plans, if any plans at all. So you just spend more time in this moment and just adapt. And personal contact with the teacher to progress in our path. You do need for the very powerful moments in your development, it's good to have the good words of a good teacher. You get inspired. And sometimes you get unexpected teachings, like I had with that one monk, Ajahn Tate, and oh, so many monks. But it's not personal contact with a teacher, with many teachers. Different teachers are strong in different areas. That's even for those of you who know your suttas. There was the 2 really good friends of the Buddha, Sariputta and Moggallana. He used to say that Sariputta would focus on taking the disciples to stream winning, and then Moggallana would take them all the way to enlightenment. In other words, they just shared the task of teaching. Just as if you're in a university, you get some teachers, they teach you physics, you know, the first couple of years, and the next couple of years, another one teaches.
So it's good to have personal contact sometimes, but with many good teachers. Lastly, from Sweden, I have no problem to relax the body, but how do I relax the mind and stop my thoughts interfering my mind? It's a good question. That's the whole point of how I was teaching today. And asked me how to do it. So I wanted you to be aware of your mind and whether it's relaxed or whether it's lots of thinking. And that's where you do experiment. That's where you just try this and try that, try this and try that. But as long as you're mindful of what relaxation means, what peace means, and just using the simile of a lake gives you something to understand what we're talking about, a mind and the thoughts. And I think many of you know that the symbol of the mind being a lake, a body of water, is just almost archetypal. So, in other words, many cultures for hundreds, thousands of years have used that simile of a lake. But how does it become peaceful? And they all say, I won't do this at length. How do I get this water to be still? You let it go, put it down. Ajahn Chah's leaves on a tree, why do they keep moving? Because wind is blowing. Something outside of it. When the wind stops, the leaves are still. When the wanting, the craving, the desire, the goal making, goal achieving, that type of mind, when that stops, that's the wind which makes your mind move. When that stops, the mind relaxes. Just like you encourage people to imagine you're, like I did, I think, 2 weeks ago, you're a Buddha under the Bodhi tree, fully enlightened. How does that feel? Imagine. The reason why we do that is because contented, perfectly satisfied, not wanting anything in the whole world. The wanting, which you can feel, visualize, you can imagine, you can take on board, and then how it would feel. It means that you get still, you don't want anything. So there's no movement left. So that's actually how you can relax the mind and relax the body. But you can tell all these things, but sometimes, you know, you don't get it. You have to put it into practice. Try it. Try this, try that. And when it does get peaceful, yeah, that's it. And that's how you learn. Even the Buddha said, the Buddha's only show the way. People have to walk that path and find out exactly what the path means. And if you get peaceful, well done. The body, if it relaxes and the pain goes, great. Now you know what letting go is. Okay, so questions from the floor before we close off?
Hi. Thank you. Hello. Thank you, Ajahn. Sometimes when my mind gets still, I'll have a problem from waking life present itself. And if I allow it to stay, I can sort of use that stillness to come to a different way of looking at it and make peace with it and let it go. So my question is, how can we know when to let thoughts come in like that so that we might use our wisdom and gain some insight into it and let it go? And how do we know when to just let it go, try to let it go straight away?
It is, again, trial and error, practice. So, but most of the times, don't let it come in yet. I'd always just keep some more stillness, first of all. And just, lean on the side of stillness and don't keep finding solutions to everyday problems. Because the more still you are, the more power you have, and the more easy it is to solve problems. But a lot of time, these problems come up by themselves. And they're just interesting solution. So every now and again, just let some problems come up and just see the solution. Easy, then you can go back to meditate again and be still.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to finish off now because, again, just limited to questions because we're going to get started arranging for the annual general meeting. So